Welcome to the We Are Legion podcast, the ultimate destination for tabletop wargaming enthusiasts and Star Wars Legion fans. Join us as we explore the thrilling world of miniature battles and delve into the intricate strategies of this epic game. Whether you're a seasoned player or just getting started, our hosts will guide you through the tactics lore and community of Star Wars Legion. Get ready for in-depth discussions, tactical analysis, and interviews with special guests who have made their mark in the wargaming world. So grab your army, ready your units, and let's command our way to victory on the battlefields of the Star Wars galaxy.
And welcome to 2023, Legionnaires, to what is, I'm going to say, the first Grand Tourette-style episode of We Are Legion. I'm your host, Jeremy, coming back to it, and with me is my new hot seat co-host. Point out Josh is...
I'm listening to you. Hot seat. I'm not even on a seat. I'm sitting on the floor because I'm still moving house.
Look, all right, hot seating. You've jumped in the hot seat. Apparently, that seat is so hot that everybody jumps out of it eventually.
Nah.
Maybe we should swap. Can I jump out of that one?
You can sit on my carpet if you want.
So, new year, new us, new direction.
Yes. New direction, definitely.
We got to about 7 months ago when the last episode aired off the top of my head. And I was a very, very burnt out man. And I think Josh can attest to this as being a new host here, but also having dealt with me at tournaments and other various things between then and now.
Oh, it's the phone calls. That's what it is.
Hey, mate, when I want to whinge to you... That's where we go with it, all right?
I know, yeah. That's okay.
So Courtney and I had a lot of stuff on our plate, both wanting to do this, but both having a lot of things happen. I know from my own personal experiences, I ended up in hospital for a little while with a kidney infection, so wasn't a very long stay, but, you know, the recovery beforehand and the... Like, the downtime afterwards made me not want to do a lot of stuff. And then, obviously, after that, we couldn't really... Once you start putting stuff down, like having to record, that throws everything out of whack, and then it becomes really hard to pick it up with scheduling.
No,
so, in the end,
exactly
it just stopped dead in the water. And that's kind of where Josh comes in, because at some point between then and now, he reminded me that it's, you know, we do this not just for ourselves and my own vanity project, apparently. I'm sure Josh will keep that in.
Yeah, no, I'm keeping it in. Not much is going to get edited out, mate, I can tell you that now.
Oh, good. Josh also kind of lit that fire up again where it's like, yeah, we should be doing this stuff because it's not just for us. It is for the people. It's for everyone.
I think where it started was I sent you a message saying, hey, mate, if you need a hand with the podcast, with editing, I'm happy to help. And here I am actually assisting in the production of it.
Yes. Well, that was the thing at the time. Courtney was still sitting around trying to work out whether we were going to be doing it together, whether he was going to do it, whether I was going to do it. There was a little to and fro miscommunication there. Then again, scheduling all died and we all just, it stayed in the hands that it was with. But at that point, I looked at it and went, the podcast needs to go into a different direction. And at the time, my son was my youngest child was about, 18 months? Yeah, because he was 2 days ago. So.
Yeah, because he was still in a pram at State.
Yeah. And we were watching, of all things, the Grand Tour. And I legitimately posted this up to Josh and was like, when the podcast comes back, if it comes back, it needs to do this. And sent him the...
It was just a poster. It was a poster to start with.
Yeah, it was. And then it was the trailer for season 3, I think.
No. No, it was the trailer for season 1.
Oh, yeah. Yes. The trailer for season 1. So my 18-year-old son loves revving engines. If I didn't know any better, I'd say he'll be a race car driver one day. And I'm still pitting on that. Pun intended with the pit joke there.
Do it.
yeah. But it got me thinking, you know, these guys moved away from everything that they were already doing to do it all again somewhere else. So we're going to be doing everything we were before.
But here.
In a new light.
But here.
In a new light. Yeah, well, yeah. You know, I'm still where I am. You're 6 hours away from where I am. So, yep. You know.
Well, that's it. But with saying that, the biggest thing is going to be that we're going to be doing same but different, if that makes sense. Like we're going to be adding flavor to what we do and to you know, keep it fresh.
And we're also going to be changing up some of the things that we do normally do. So this was very, you know, once a fortnight, once a month kind of an episodic podcast. And that'll still stick around. But if the video was an indication of things that we are doing differently now, we're going to have fun with it.
Yeah.
And that's the nicest way to say it. If we were to hearken to the Grand Tour ideology that I was like, let's do this, I'm going to have to be a cross between Jeremy Clarkson
and while he's recording. And I'm the wide-eye short guy.
And not lately. and Richard Hammond. And Josh is going to have to be my James May
with
a little bit of Richard Hammond.
I think I'm the one who's excited more about everything. I'm the weird Star Wars fanboy in everything for some stupid reason.
Are you just calling me the grumpy old man here?
Which is saying something because I'm older than you.
I mean, we're both named Jeremy, so I guess the analogy works really well there.
It does.
So yes, fun jokes aside, out of the way there, I'm sure Josh will throw some funny music in against this at some point. I had, what was that song stuck in my head whilst we were prepping this?
Oh, it wasn't, I Can See Clearly Now, whatever it's called. Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day.
And yet we're recording this at night.
It was 38 degrees and sunny until 7.
I don't know if you heard that, but I did a rim shot.
Oh, I love it.
So
for those people listening at home, not much in the way of how we give you content will change. It'll still be free. It'll still be us shit talking. It'll still be trying to appease the Stabcast occasionally.
Yeah. Neither of us are Courtney guys. Just saying. I listened to the episode today. They're like, yeah, Courtney, do something. I'm like, well.
So with that, yeah. Courtney had actually met them in person, so he gets a pass there.
He does. So. And just saying, Courtney did message me prior to us recording a few weeks ago, wishing us completely well. We wish him well as well. Like, there's no animosity. Everything's good.
His seat. I jokingly say that it's the hot seat, probably because there's been, what, 5 people come and go?
Yes.
4. I am the original. Wow, that makes me feel really bad. It actually does make me feel like Jeremy Clarkson. But that seat is always open for Courtney when he wants to come back.
Exactly.
If and when he chooses to sit in it.
He is here.
And I'm not going to be kicking Josh out of it either. They're just going to have to share.
He can sit on my lap.
I was waiting for that. But yes, the things that changed for me, a big one straight off the bat is, as Josh alluded to, I don't have to do all the editing myself anymore. As bad as that sounds, it's a real bummer when you have to do all the editing after you've done 50 to 75% of the pre-prep work on an episode, then recorded, then done the editing.
Yeah.
And when we were recording and everyone was, you know, coming to actually into the location where I am, so just, you know, coming and sitting around a table, which makes it easier to do this kind of stuff, that would be including, you know, an hour's worth of setup followed by an hour and a half worth of cleanup and pack up.
See, this is where, like, people might find a different sort of style to the way I do things. I usually either automate or make things so incredibly easy to do, the workflow is going to be very simple. So if there is something that you find faulty with this episode or any further episodes, shoot us an email. You can find the email in the show description below.
Yes, you can.
Because I can't remember what it is now.
That's fine. You've sent it to me, and I'm sure that we'll put it in. The other thing is we're not going to rattle off every time, and you can hear me clicking my iPad open so I can reread through the stuff that we're going to do tonight. You're not going to hear me rattle off every time to go to the Discord and catch us. Guys, we'll always be there. We'll throw our handles at the bottom of the show notes or at the bottom of the show plop for you, so that when it gets dropped to you guys, you can read it and go, yep, okay, cool, I want to reach out to these people and go this way. Quite happy to do that. Quite happy to take any and all listener questions and feedback. I'm sure Josh, being plugged into an entirely different community to me,
which is the
other thing that I love, is he's 6 hours away in the same state. So
yeah,
effectively, he's in the arse end of nowhere.
I'm moving house 300 meters away from being on the main road to being in 7 acres of bush. So yeah, I am in the middle of like Bumtree Bunkin area.
But what that does for me is that gives an entirely different perspective on gameplay. Something we're going to touch on a little bit later too, because the other thing that Josh has done in bringing both automation and formality to my life, hooray!
Yes.
He's also reached out. So this has gone from being, you know, one person does a lot of the work to two people working very closely together, and makes me very happy. So I will sing his praises till the cows come home. But what it also has done is, with that freedom that he's felt, he's gone out and done things that I would normally suggest that I would do, like get interviews organized.
That's it. So we've got Mr. David Grant coming on the show later this episode. People who would remember him as the People's Hero, Mr. Sixpack, Mr. Six Activations at LVO, who went, was it 4-0 on the first day?
Yes. He had a interesting list with an interesting take on it. And he's a very long-toothed gaming participant, obviously coming from Warhammer Fantasy. And being competitive at that. So it was really good to have a sit down and chat with him. It's going to be the first time that I can safely say that I've recorded the interview for the episode before I've actually had to record the episode. So it's done something different for me, Josh. And what that's done is reignite that lovely little fire in my brain that wants me to sit down and build and twist and play with stuff.
And you'll understand that more as you listen to the interview, because it was quite funny where Jeremy just goes quiet for a little bit. Like, you okay, Jeremy? He's like, I'm writing lists.
Well, that's the other thing. So this was not... my show, and should not have ever sounded like that. This is the group that would be podcasting together. It's always been the people that talk on it. It's everyone's show in it. And so you'll probably hear me take a step back every now and then. So Josh might have been going, are you okay? Are you all right? And this is me going, no, you set this one up. I'm going to let you...
Well, it wasn't more like that. It was like, yeah, no, you could tell that the gears in your head were moving, and they were moving rather quickly.
The gears in my head do generally tend to do that, which is surprising after 7 months of sitting here almost inactive, like Palpatine on that throne in episode 9.
So, so how much dust is going to stay on those 30K minis now that you've got this fire for a small activation Legion list?
No, no, don't talk about my dirty side hobby. I also went back to my grassroots, as it were, for those people that just caught that little one. And started playing 2nd Ed 30K Warhammer, which is an entirely different game style and shift. And what it's also done is that's had my brain ticking. So it's between the two of those games, bringing me back to Legion with this lovely interview and all the discussions that Josh has thrown down on me. I guess we're delving slightly into what we've been doing in the hobby. I've been... building, playing, and running around with an Imperial Fist 30K faction that has taken up an entire IKEA cupboard, not a small one, of minis. So, go figure.
Yeah, well.
But, you know, in 7 months from nothing.
Well, no, well, that's it. Well, it's funny, though, like you say that. I did CanCon, and for CanCon, I only had to paint one miniature. And I can't. It was a. What the hell was it, too? I think it was a shore trooper. I had to paint a T-21 Bravo for CanCon because it was the only mini that I hadn't had painted for that particular squad. But my main hobby of late has been trying to move house, and that's fun with five kids in
that's
a house.
But that's not the main hobby you've been buying into.
No, no, I, I know,
we're going to air my dirty laundry, Josh, you're going to get yours aired out here too.
It's funny though, because it made a lot of people dirty down here in Bega, because it was not just me that sort of bought into this. So delved very heavily into Warlord Games Black Powder Epic Battles of Waterloo, which is it's a 10 mil scale of black powder, so Napoleonics. And I bought a starter army for the British and a few extra little side things. And my other friend, Nathan, bought the French, or he got given that for Christmas, I should say. And
was it like a starter kit with two armies and you gave him the other half?
No, they don't do that for Napoleonics. They do that for the American War, not the American War of Independence, the Civil War. So what we ended up doing, we had a discussion at his place, and I've gone, yeah, I want to get British. He goes, sweet, I'll get French. His girlfriend heard that. She bought that for him for Christmas, and I'm like, all right, well, I better get mine then. So I did that, and we had, so the last game that I was able to play prior to CanCon was with him, but we were meant to play our Legion game that's for our install league. We didn't play that. We played Black Powder.
Ouch. I'm guessing the boys in the rest of the group would have been like, what? What do you mean you haven't played your competitive game that you're supposed to have played?
Yeah, we still haven't. So at the moment, what we've done is Andrew, who's our local TO, essentially, he made it so you guys play it as a catch-up game. We need to continue this on now. And so that's where we're at the moment.
All I'm hearing there is you need to get a game of Legion in.
Oh, yeah, every ASAP. Friday night. And that's the thing, too. If you ever find yourself in the Bega Valley on a Friday night and you want to play some Legion, come down to the Tabletop Gaming Hub. We're playing every night, every Friday night from 6 till super late. I didn't get home till like 12:30 last night.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were sending me the show notes at about 8 o'clock, and I went to bed at 12:30, and I didn't see them until 10 a.m. this morning. So,
yeah.
And the words shortly in my brain normally mean, you know, 10, 15, maybe an hour if you're driving home or something.
So I was
very much like, ah, he's busy. It's fine. We'll just, you know, it's Friday night, whatevs.
I got tabled at turn 5 by an 8-year-old. That's what happened.
Was somebody sitting there directing him, or were you doing an intro game, or how does that...
This kid is one of the... I don't know what you would call him, like Rain Man kids of Andrew Allen. So Andrew Allen, who was chief judge at CanCon.
Now called consulars, not judges.
His nickname in the group chat is chief judge. And so he grew up in a gaming background, much like David. Warhammer Fantasy was his main game. Like, that's what he would play. And he's taught his kids from a very young age. He's 13-year-old. Who has been playing with us since, 13, 8 years ago, was tabling adults in Warhammer Fantasy 8th edition.
I like that. I like when a kid, like when you see kids playing the game, I like it even more when you see kids schooling adults on the game.
Oh.
Because kids have fresh perspectives normally. Like they see things through a very different lens, and that just...
And their smack talk is beautiful. Last night, even though I was salty as hell because I could not make any saves. Like, I'm rolling, like, 6 shots on a dewback. I'm like, sweet, I'll be able to save some of these. Roll nothing. Dead dewback. And I got really salty, and I've just gone, I can't make one save. And he shot something else. I rolled it, and it was like, out of 4 dice, I made one save. He goes, oh, look, you made a save. High five. I'm like, you prick.
Love it. Love it. So, yeah, coming up, just to bring us slightly back on track, we do have our interview with Dave Grant. Yes. We also have to announce we've now gone to having some sponsors for the show. Now,
yes, we do. So there will be a proper clip, but I will give you a heads up. So Tabletop Gaming Hub, who were amazing at supplying some prize support, and they weren't the only ones, I'm just saying, but they supplied some prize support to CanCon. The owner of the store is a player of Legion himself, loves a community. He came across from playing Blood and Glory and Magic the Gathering because he noticed how much fun we as a people, as a community, have actually playing a game. We were actually having fun instead of getting caught up in rules that most TPG players have. So he's come in, loves the community. He's bought himself a 3D printer to build terrain. Like he's fully invested. And so he's happy enough to sponsor us. And he's also happy enough to sponsor any major events in Australia coming up.
Yes, which will lead into what I'm going to talk about shortly. But he obviously, with his sponsoring us and the podcast, it is also good to give a shout out to the stores that do the most for the community, as it were. And a big highlighted shout out, and I'm going to point out a quick story here, goes out to Rick Warner of Games Bandit. Now, he has the fulcrum, the head judge, Nick, who's still around. He has left for the evening. He was here right before the start of the interview with Dave Grant. I should have got him to stick around and jump on, because he has quite happily said that he will sit on an episode and actually lend us his voice, which is a first time.
Yeah, well, and I can vouch for this. I heard it too.
He did, which is no word of a lie. Now, we were chatting, obviously, because every event that we've ever run, we've always had Games Bandit as our biggest sponsor. And Games Bandit is run by this amazing guy named Rick. It's a one-man show. He did it because he played X-Wing and actually went to Worlds 2016 to play X-Wing and was playing with stock that was, you know, months out of date and needed to get supply available for people to play with. So he actually started his store selling X-Wing to X-Wing players, getting it from the US, as it were, when LPG and other distributors were still having problems trying to get stock in. He was getting lower quantities to make sure that the people that were playing in Australia were getting the things that they need, that they could stay competitive. And so he is a firm, and obviously not doing it at a massive cost. Like, you know, he wasn't trying to gouge anybody out or make a shed load of money. He was doing it to make sure that everybody had what they could play with. So big shout out to Rick, because that was how he started, and how he's going is he is still always out helping the community. This week in particular, he is on a trip to Tassie, Tasmania, which is our southernmost state. It's
God's country, mate. That's God's country.
Let's not start this bullshit.
Mate.
So Josh is initially from Tasmania, so I'm going to give him a lot of shit for that at some point.
I'll find it right does.
Time. But effectively, the joke that the Stabcast guys use, that is Australia a real place, that's what we here on the mainland kind of do for Tasmania. Is it a real place? We don't know. Nobody ever really goes there, and nobody ever really sees people from there. Josh is an outlier. He says that he's from Tasmania, wouldn't know why. But I want to see the birth certificate.
You want to know why? It's because Tasmania is essentially the real existence of Valinor. That's what it is. You can only go there if you are worthy.
Oh, you see, I was going to say apparently they make some of the best Pinot Noir and Pinot Gris down there. When I used to sell wine, that was some of the stuff that we got, and some really good Chardonnay for some bubbles. Actually, my wedding bubbles came from Tassie.
There's a lot of really good vineyards down there.
There are, but the reason for that is because it's so fucking cold. So the only people that really want to go there are the people that like the freezing. And I mean, half the people that like freezing temperatures end up going to Antarctica, right? Because
I haven't done that yet. Plan to, but I haven't.
Yeah. But yeah, like they'd rather go, you know, instead of this island that you could probably traverse from one corner to the other in a day, to somewhere that's uncharted. That's all I hear about that kind of stuff.
Well, I'll tell you something now. It's cold in the UK at the minute.
It is. And having lived in England, I would lovingly say that it's cold all the time. So, and in comparison to Australia.
The reason why I bring that up is our guest, Mr. David Grant, is from Nottingham in the UK.
Yep, he is. So how about we get into that interview? Because we've bent your ear a little bit for a while now. And we'll see you on the other side.
That's it. We'll speak to you after.
See ya.
Looking for the ultimate online destination for tabletop hobby fanatics? Look no further than Games Bandit. Our online store is your one stop Shop for the latest and greatest tabletop games, miniatures, accessories, and more. With our extensive selection and unbeatable prices, we're dedicated to helping you find the perfect game to fuel your passion for tabletop gaming. At Games Bandit, we take pride in our lightning-fast shipping speeds, ensuring that you get your games in your hands as quickly as possible. So whether you're a casual player or a hardcore hobbyist, you can count on us to provide you with exceptional service and quality products. Visit gamesbandit.com.au today and see for yourself why we're the go-to online store for tabletop hobbyists across Australia.
Okay. This is our first guest for the reboot season of We Are Legion. We have, as people have dubbed him in the land down under, as the people's champion, the six-hit wonder, Mr. Six-Pack, the man from the UK who brought six things to LVO. This is Mr. David Grant. How are you today, David?
I'm very good, thank you. Thank you for inviting me. A little bit weird to get a random invite to an Australian podcast, but yeah, good. Power of the internet.
Oh, mate, it's exactly what it is, the power of the internet. I think it's because of all the memes that started coming out on our Friday they started, and then Saturday they got incredibly big. But yes, it was weird, but I'm glad that you responded to our DM that we sent to you.
No, that's cool. I got nothing else going on in my life, so that's fine.
So a bit of a bio, 42, you're from Nottingham in the UK.
Yes.
You played Warhammer Fantasy. You said you played that competitively for 20 years.
Yeah. So I started playing my tournaments when I was 15. For at least 20 years, I played pretty competitively. I went to the ETC, which is like the big event. I was actually the New Zealand captain at the ETC for a few years because I lived in New Zealand back in the day. And played that very competitively for a long time.
What faction did you play?
Everything. I think there's only a couple I never played. So yeah, pretty much everything at some point over that period.
Fantastic.
I think it's less a what did you play and more a what did you enjoy there, Dave?
Everything. I think probably leads into this conversation. I never played Metalists. So whatever the internet or random chat at the time, because some of it was pre-internet, to be honest. Whatever people decided was good, I always took something different. The big armies, the ones I played most were probably Chaos, Lizardmen, Ogres, okay. I think. When I was in New Zealand, I played Bretonnian a lot.
Oh, yeah.
All the time, pretty much everything.
So I was a Tomb Kings player. No, I still have all my Tomb Kings as well, I'm quite happy to say.
Yeah, played Tomb Kings for a while, especially when they could do the Icon of Rakath, the reform charge nonsense that they used to do.
Oh, yeah. Nice. That was always fun.
I was an Empire player through and through. Surprising. Sigma, everyone.
So you said you played in Australia.
Yes, I played. So I lived in New Zealand for 3 years, and I probably came across like four or five events in Australia during that time, like 14-ish years ago.
So I'm assuming one of them would have had to have been CanCon.
I can't remember. CanCon's one in
So CanCon's the big Canberra event that they do every year at the start of the year. I do remember there was a massive fantasy event that used to go on at Mother of All Battles or Moab in Sydney in October.
I can't remember the names. I did kind of bigger events. Generally, one was in Melbourne. I went to Brisbane a couple of times and Sydney a couple of times events they would have been.
Yep, so Moab, PAX, and I can never remember the one in Brizzy.
It's BrizCon, isn't it?
Maybe.
I don't know. I've never been to Brisbane.
I've never been to Brisbane to play competitive wargaming outside of Star Wars Armada.
I did notice one thing you did say, which sort of it made me like you even more, and I know it's made you liked by a bunch of the guys in the Bega Valley where I live, and that's the fact that you've never played AOS competitively.
I haven't played it at all. So what happened there was I went to the ETC at the end of 8th edition. I played there, and then we knew AOS was coming at that point, and the first sort of rules came out and they were complete garbage. It was like two bits of paper and there was no points values. It was
I remember that. Those were dark times.
Yeah. And at that time, I then moved to Hong Kong. And there was nobody played Warhammer there when I got there. So I just kind of stopped playing completely and then never picked it up again. While I was in Hong Kong, Star Wars Legion was released, and that became my new tabletop gaming fix. I play a few other games like Marvel, MCP, and X-Wing, and D&D, and things like that as well. Yep. But so in terms of like larger scale wargaming, Legion's my thing now.
That's right.
Nice. Yeah. On the Marvel stuff there, did you go really crazy during the pandemic like a lot of us did and start buying up? Because I know here in Australia we had releases that were 3 months behind everyone else. Did you start buying from overseas when you couldn't get the release as it was coming out? Or did you just wait?
We never had that problem in the UK. When stuff came out, it was generally available.
Fair enough.
In fact, we got some of the stuff really early, then we were told we couldn't use it. It was really weird. When Angela came out, I got that, and then they said, "Oh no, you can't use it for 3 months." And I'm like, "But it's in my hand." But okay.
Yeah, no. So in Australia, Angela was one of those ones that was about nearly 5 months, so 3 months plus 2 months delayed. Trying to think of other ones here. The ones that I had to pick up from the UK, from the US, the entirety of the, I was going to say the Black Order, but it's not the Black Order. It's the Mystic Order, whatever they call themselves, like the Sorcerer Supreme.
Convocation.
Their squad. I ordered the entire thing from the US because it was not coming out in Australia. There was a delay. Ant-Man and the Wasp was delayed. There was just a whole smattering of stuff that it was like, oh, the UK may get it. The US definitely already has it. And Australia has missed the boat, and we'll see it on like the second restock.
Well, I think it quite literally missed the boat on that one. But anyway.
Well, that's just the thing that happens here in Australia. We either get it like really, really early, or we are like incredibly delayed.
I deal with international shipping with work, and it happens.
I mean, to give you a hint, the same thing happened for us here with Legion as well. So whilst all that was going on, the LATs and the AA5s were being, and the spider droids, the NR99s, that entire wave missed Australia.
Lando were kept going into my local games. Also, have you got these yet? Nope.
I ordered mine from the US through Amazon. Got them shipped, real cheap, cheaper than what the local store would do them. And then had to sit on them and pretend like I didn't have them, so as not to make everybody turn around and go, "Oh, where'd you get that from?"
And then you brought spider droids to CanCon.
I did take spider droids to CanCon 6 months after they were out. What are you talking about? It's fine. Everything's fine here.
Okay. So we've gone from CanCon. LVO, pretty major event. So had you been planning on going there for a while, or what was the go with that?
Yeah. So I decided to go when the tickets were first, because the tickets sold out in 10 minutes or something. 150 player tournament, and it sold out in 10 minutes or an hour or whatever it was. So I booked those tickets in June, I think it was, of 22. So they're quite forward planning. And then actually the week later, they announced that Worlds was going to be Adepticon, so I booked tickets for Chicago the next week, which is a bit weird.
And that's because you've got five invites, haven't you?
Sorry?
You've got five invites to Worlds, don't you?
Yes. So because I was supposed to go to Worlds in March 2020, but of course I got cancelled like the week before.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically all the events from the second half of 2019, 2020, 21, 22, not that many in the middle of COVID, but basically it's like 4 years worth of Worlds invites.
I mean, I've got mine, but with a 2-year-old now, it's kind of hard to justify taking off to America for, a couple of days.
I used to do that. When I had a 2-year-old when I lived in New Zealand. I used to come across to Australia. It's not a problem. The wife will be fine.
Australia and New Zealand is like traveling from my house to Josh's, so it's...
Oh, it's like 3.5 hours. It takes ages.
That's what I mean. It's my house to Josh's.
No, I'm 6 hours away from you, mate.
There you go. So, you know, it's longer to get to Josh's house by car than it is for me to get on a plane and go to New Zealand. But yeah, it's what, 16 hours to get to the US from here by plane?
Yep. Try 18. That's to LA, and then you've got to get to Chicago.
Yeah, so we're looking at a whole day just to get over there, which would be doable. I was also planning on the 2020 Worlds, had my invite. Thanks, COVID. I got a COVID baby instead. And I'm quite happy. I'll give up my Worlds ticket this year.
I can see you there, rocking. Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy.
But so booked your, you've got your booked your LVO ticket, booked your Worlds, Adepticon ticket. Did you know what you were planning on taking at that point, or were you just...
No. I hadn't given any thought at all. So basically, in terms of what I played, I'll kind of bit of background to that. I played Vader for the first 18 months of Legion, I think. So nothing but Vader and never more than 8 activations.
I mean,
I got 3 invites doing that.
Nice. I mean, could you really fit more than 8 activations in with 18 months in, that would be Commander Vader, not operative. So that's you know, a quarter of your army right there.
So wasn't one of your armies, it was like Vader, Bosk, Tank, and a bunch of Snowies or something like that?
Yeah, that was one of them. So the first one was Vader Bobber and a bunch of Storms and Scouts and things, I think, quite early.
Yeah.
Then it moved to Vader and a Tank with Bosk. Things like that.
Bosk is king, so yes.
You sort of keep it quite uniform. Like for me at the moment, it's operative Vader 3 Dewback and my staple. So
you mean spider droid food? Sure.
Shush.
So. I've branched out more since then. So I said after about the first 18 months of the game, then I played operative Luke quite a lot with various things. I was playing operative Luke probably most of 22. And then I was trying to work out what I wanted to do for LVO, probably in the autumn, so like October time.
Hmm.
Obviously, autumn for the Brits, not you guys. There's been a lot of I listened to a few podcasts, and a lot of them, especially the American ones, bang on and on about activations all the time, and I kind of disagree with them to an extent. And I thought, I'm just going to take the lowest activation list possible and beat them over the head with it. Thinking.
I'm going to commend your effort. I do understand where you're coming from there, where you say a lot of the podcasts, not just Americans, but everyone seems to, we dive into this idea that, you know, activations are key and high numbers are always good. It's just an easier learning curve on the game when you have higher numbers, as funny as that sounds, because you've got more buckets of smaller points to lose.
Yeah, I mean, and there is, you know, more activations just are better. That is true. But as a list overall, it doesn't necessarily mean it is. So
no, that also means more things to
activations as versus just having lots of crap. Is an interesting. So you know, scoring the objectives, often you just need more activations. But it's more activations at the end of the game, and that's kind of the point.
Yeah, it's also more that can go wrong, because if you're relying on lots of smaller cogs to get it right, you can always... It's a fine balance, and it's something that I learned. I really enjoy 13-act droids, but I play every faction. So for me, I was like, oh, you know, well, I like my 9 activation Imperials, my 9 to 8 activation clones, and my Rebels. I haven't played them since the second year of the game. So,
yeah.
The
point is, it's not as important as people made out.
It's finding a balance.
A balance and having a plan of what you're going to do. I think people shouldn't be afraid to do what they want to do because it's quote unquote not competitive, or you know, it doesn't reach 10 activations, therefore it can't possibly win any games.
I can tell you now, here in the Bigger Valley, we had, like, in our group chat, while you were playing your games, everyone was trying to come up with six activation lists that were half decent for every other faction, and they were having fun with it. And I think with that mixed with all the memes that were coming out, in my opinion, you're inspiring a lot of players to, you know, mix it up a bit and make some fun lists.
Yeah, and you should always mix up and make fun lists and do something different, and work out how to make your concept good. It was great.
Did you see any of the memes that were coming out over the weekend? Like, was there any that stood out to you?
I don't know if I saw all of them, but I probably saw like four or five, I think.
What was your favorite?
But so I saw a few. It was quite surreal, if I'm honest, to become a meme. I shared it with people at work and things. They all thought it was awesome. But.
So did you have a specific favorite one that really stood out to you?
No, I guess.
Not even. I think I saw one that was like the Monty Python skit where it's like, he's the Messiah, he's the Messiah. And it's got a picture of the mum going, Dave is a very naughty boy for six activations.
Oh, I didn't see that one. You guys have to send me all these memes. I said I didn't see that one. That's quite funny.
Oh, we'll do that. We'll definitely do that for you.
Yeah, I mean, the first one I saw was the kind of the one with Vader in the corridor and the fleet trooper running away. that was quite fun. Just that was quite good. All very good and very surreal.
So, had you played that list prior to LVO, or was this something you wrote specifically for LVO?
Bit of both. So, I would say a year ago. I wanted to try Palpatine because I'd never used him, and I thought, well, what's the best thing to put with Palpatine? And I said, well, pull the strings is what Palpatine makes Palpatine special, and the best thing to pull the strings on is Vader. So a Palpatine Vader list, I did a version of it about a year or so ago, played it to an event, it was okay, had some fun, did it, done it, and it was then for LVO, I said I was wanting to go to activations, so I went back to that, and because after playing at one event, I thought there was ways to change the list to make it better, and I thought the way to make it better, because at the time it was seven activations, and the way to make it better was actually to have one less activation, do a few other tweaks, so that I kind of decided I wanted to run it at LVO September, I think. And so before LVO, I'd taken it to four events, I think, in the UK. So, three one-dayers and a two-dayer. And across the four events, lost one game.
Wow. I'm impressed. A lot of us get stuck in, like, as we were saying before, this whole, like, everyone looking at how many activations is the perfect amount to win a game and that. And six activations, and you're consistent with it.
There is another piece there, because obviously...
The only I've lost to is Blizzard Force. So I've only lost two games, both against Blizzard Force. And both times, there was no line of sight blockers in the middle of the table. I'm not going to...
So it's all gone down the tables then.
So all I'm hearing is Blizzard Force broken, please nerf, and tables need line of sight blockers of some description in the middle of them. Gotcha. Remember that, Josh.
Both of those are very good, just for Legion in general. But so I said, they're the only two games it's lost to is both Blizzard Force. I have beaten Blizzard Force with it, including one of my favorite games at LVO was because I had a plan going into it, and it was I beat Blizzard Force on Bombing Run with six activations, which I thought was hilarious.
Oh, that was one of the ones that were brought up here. We were like, wow, how did you do this?
Yeah, it's a very definite plan. And what's interesting is I had this very definite plan for it. It worked very well. So the premise of it is basically... The way to win Bombing Run is to nick your opponent's bombs. That's fundamentally how you win it. And Vader and his tank is fast enough to hunt down speeder bikes. So on that particular game, so the tank can double move. Then Palp pulls the strings to get Vader out of the tank. And the command card was Implacable. So then Vader does Burst of Speed and Implacable and very easily hunts down speeder bikes, kills them and nicks their bomb.
You see, I feel like this is the reason why I saw three or four questions of can you pull the strings Vader out of a tank on Facebook all on the same day at the same time? And I went, oh, what? Why? Because I'd entirely missed that particular interaction.
It's a standard move. You can do it.
Yeah, it is. And I sat there and I was like, you can, but why are we asking this question? And now I have the context and I'm sitting here going,
Streamed too, wasn't it?
But because it's like there's four different parts of the rulebook you got to check to make sure it's legal, and it is. So the week before LVO, I sent an email on the forum, a message on the forum, and then Hutt chased down LJ Pena just to be like, make sure he answered it, just to confirm it's legal. So mid-game, if anybody had a problem, I was like, no, it's really fine. So I didn't want it to come up and be a problem mid-game.
Well, LJ said it's okay, so it must be fine.
Exactly. Yeah, it's on the rules forum, so it's like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Of course, when I put it on the forum, I referred to Snow as not Vader because, I didn't want to give the game away too much.
No, but it's just, you're like, well, if Snows can do it, then Vader can do it. Yep. Okay, cool. All right. Yep. Same idea and premise. Doesn't take too much to get it round. Yeah. So all I'm hearing from that is not so much to check the rules forum for rules, but to check the rules forum for intent on rules now. That's even worse because now I've got to sit there and pick apart every rule interaction and work out whether or not I'm worried about something else.
Rules are funny because I said there's a lot of things in the UK that is very common in usage, if that makes sense. And a few of the things, not this one, but a few of the things came up. And I guess it had never occurred to a different group of players that was a rule or that was a thing you could do. And I had a conversation with a few people. Like one was, it's really simple things like doing a standby on a tank. To basically what you do sometimes is you move the tank up, then do a standby. Vader gets out, force pushes somebody, triggers a standby, then his tank moves backwards, and then Pulp gets in the tank and pulls the strings on Vader.
I think you'll find that doesn't happen often. You'll find it not happening so much, and people won't realize it in metas where tanks aren't that big of a thing. So, in those lovely high activation count areas, much like our own here for the most part, I think you can agree, Josh.
Yeah.
We probably wouldn't have seen that happen before because it's, I don't really see Gav tanks that often. My only memorable Gav tank moment was watching Palp get shot out of it.
Probably 2/3 of my games of Legion, I use a transport. So the Gav tank, the LAT, or the AA5, I use transports a lot, and there's a lot you can do with them. And I think most people don't use them properly, and they, they compare the Gav tank to the AT-ST as a gun platform, and it's clearly inferior. Therefore, they don't see the value in it.
So one of the things I use the Gav tank for is putting the E-Web in.
Is huge.
Go on, Josh.
Sorry, I was just saying that one of the things I use for the my tank is I always chuck an E-Web in it, and that seems to be a bit of fun. Like it's running around like a Ute with a 50 cal on it.
That's when you convert the Gav tank into a technical. That's the actual modern warfare term for it. So that's a bit different to using the Gav tank on its own, like you'd use the AT-ST, but with a lower profile.
Mm.
How do you find the LAT? Because
That's cool. So again, it's you've got the main thing. If you're taking a LAT or a Gav tank or an AA5, you're taking it for its transport capability. Any guns it has on is like an extra bonus to an extent. But that's not really why you're taking them. So, and obviously the difference with the LAT is it's a closed transport versus open, and there's pros and cons of closed and open. So if you've got a plan for it, you've got to have something worth transporting around. Obviously the closed protects them better, but it's less flexible in terms of it's harder to get in and out. So like with the Gav tank, somebody's getting in or out of the tank pretty much every turn. It's different units all the time. So it's constantly being used to ferry people around. The LAT's quite different because it's just harder to get in.
Yeah,
but it does provide better. So I've used Vader LAT before, for example. Mm-hmm. And it works perfectly fine. It's good.
I had almost forgotten that the LAT could actually go in the Imperials then, because I was looking in my cupboard and going, "Where is the Imperial LAT? I haven't built it yet." So by that, I'm guessing because you also didn't mention the NR99. Everybody seems to forget that is a transport. I take it you don't play clones or droids.
I do have a clone army, but I've only used it once. And I don't play droids.
Yeah.
So I started off when I started Legion, I was basically getting everything and multiples of everything. And when the Clone Wars box set came out, I kind of wanted to do them, but I had such a big pile of stuff to paint that I thought, I can't justify buying a whole other faction until I've caught up with painting. And of course, I've never caught up with painting.
I don't think any of us have.
No, no. That obviously means you haven't picked up the Shadow Collective.
Yeah, same argument. I mean, Blacksons are absolutely my playstyle, but I just haven't got around to buying them or painting them. So yeah, they're not don't use them yet.
Well, interesting thing with the Black Suns at CanCon, there was one Shadow Collective player, and he was almost exclusively Black Suns. That's all he had.
Yep. Yes, one of the UK players that's going to Worlds is taking 6 units of Black Suns, a Bus and Maul. It's a great list.
Yeah. Well, that's essentially that's essentially what. Because
I've been showing them how to use. I've been training them how to use the bus properly to surf the Black Suns across the table. And get turn one engagements, so it's fun.
That sounds so brutal. So back to LVO, you were talking about like your plan that you had with the Blizzard Force. Was that your favorite game, or did you have any other games during that weekend that you just went, nah, I loved that. That was just the best.
Yeah. So that was very basically because I had a very definite plan and it worked exactly as I wanted it to, and that so it was just kind of. Quite satisfying. The actual game itself is a bit dull because the plan is a bit dull. It's just nick their bombs, score, they can't win anymore. Then you just go, you're done, kind of thing. The game against Kyle, the one I lost, that was a good game, very tight. So that was probably my kind of favorite game. I enjoy tight games more. Honestly, the other four games. The first game that was on stream, it wasn't close apart from one dice roll really through it. So it was a bit of a squeaky bum moment in the middle, but other than that, it was fine. And the problem, of course, with a low activation list like Vader Palp is a swingy dice roll can screw you because there's just so little in your list. But you know, if one of the games I lost with the old version was because Operative Luke just ran into Palp and one-shotted him. Oof. It was it was like, okay, that happened. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes those things happen. And I said the Vader Palp is more susceptible to it because it's just nothing there. Once you get a bad roll with Vader or Palp, you're in so much trouble. But generally, most of the games weren't that close. In terms of there were early concessions because the way the list works, once Vader and Palp are in position, it just blends through everybody. The tournaments I played in the UK before I went to LVO, I would say at least half the games don't go beyond turn four because I've tabled them by that point.
Did the points changes and the rules change that came through just prior to LVO, did that make any major changes to your list?
No. There was a slight change because Vader used to have Vigilance. And I used to have a really big bid. I used to outbid Blizzard Force, basically. And because I got two copies of Burst of Speed. So it impacted it a little bit, but fundamentally, no. So it reduced the bid, and I dropped Vigilance. That's one of the points changes.
The points changes affected you negatively, not positively.
The points changes were Burst of Speed and Vigilance both went up by 7. So across the list, that's 21 points. I got rid of Vigilance and dropped the bid 14 points. And the rules changes, the pass mechanic, people think the pass mechanic's big, but it isn't because the list goes first. So the first turn, first activation, I would pass, but doesn't make a huge difference. Other than that, I probably wouldn't pass the rest of the game because everything wants to be activating first.
That's the thing, isn't it? The pass mechanic is, it's a good idea in theory, and you play MCP, so you know you play with pass mechanics anyway. So that's where I've picked mine up from. But it only really works if you can build it into your plan for it to work. And as you said, you want to be, you'll throw it out as your... Well, I know I'm going first, but you go first, so I can, instead of react, I can let you get into a slightly more softer position before I then start diving into you, which is effectively what you're doing there.
After the first turn, I want things to be going as quickly as possible with everything.
Well, murder blending everything as fast as possible means there's less things on the other side of the field to oppose you.
Exactly, especially with Implacable and Pull the Strings and Force Choke. It's when Vader kills four activations in a turn. It makes people sad. I enjoy it.
I love it when it happens too. So with that though, there are many people who, like, you rocked up to the table, they've seen what you've got, and they're going, "Oh yeah, this will be easy." Like, do you reckon there were a lot of people that underestimated you?
Probably. I think more so they didn't know what to expect. They saw it and they probably mentally they said, that list in particular plays very different to most Legion lists. The way to beat it is to change your playstyle. Is to really sit back and think, how do you need to beat this particular list? Not play the game that you usually play. Yeah, most people rock up and just play the game they're used to playing, and then they lose.
I was going to say, the list sounds, and I'd colloquialize this one a little bit, it sounds like the old 40K Alpha Strike that a lot of Star Wars Legion players hated and jumped from, say, games like 40K to this, where a low unit numbered army with less models can murder blend its way through more than half of your force in, say, a turn, and then you're going to spend the rest of the game playing, you know, catch up and react to, which means, as you said, you'll need to figure out how to play against
that. The only difference is I'm murder blending with a lightsaber, so I have to physically get to you. So there is obviously counterplay. You know, with 40K, often that happened, but it happened from the other end of the board, and there's nothing you can do about it. I think that's a bit sad.
The other thing there is it happened, and you had half units that couldn't actually do anything at all. Whereas in Legion, you've got, you know, Vader will be doing things whilst you're attempting to do stuff. Because, you know, as you said, you've got Implacable, Pull the Strings. You'll use some standby play there, I'm assuming, need to. Which means that you're forcing your opponent to make errors, but you're effectively letting them still get to play with their toys because they'll be activating their units, and those units will then be being murder blended. I can see the irony in this as I'm looking at a table with the six axe on it and going,
It makes me want to try myself. The cards.
Yeah. Again, I've just pulled it all out and stuck it on a table, and I'm sitting here fiddling with the cards and going, how do I? Yeah, maybe.
So was there any opponents that you saw yourself that you really wanted to play, but you didn't get a chance to?
No, I actually wanted to play Kyle because he's got a bit of a reputation in the US. He's a very good player. He wins a lot of events. So I wanted to play him, and I did, and lost, unfortunately. Other than that, I didn't really know anybody. So, no. There's obviously some lists that were interesting. That were around that would have been fun to play against, but nothing but particularly stands out.
No, that's fair enough. Like I had the opportunity. The first game that I played at CanCon was against one of Australia's best players, Steve Gibbs. And the minute I knew I was playing him, I'm like, yep, I've lost. It was straight in my head. But with what you were saying, you had a clear plan for what your army was going to do, and you tried to make it happen. Were there any fluffed up dice rolls for you over that weekend?
I said in the first game on stream, there was one. Other than that, no. And that was basically, where was that? That was because Vader hit a unit of four stormtroopers or something, whatever it was, obviously with Pierce 3. And he blocked all four, so I didn't kill the unit. And it put Vader in a really bad spot, basically. I meant he couldn't then do what he needed to do. But other than that, dice are dice. You know, the game against Kyle, if the dice had gone slightly differently at the end, I could have won. But earlier in the game, I guess dice were probably more on my side. So, you know, it comes and goes. Generally, if you're relying... And you know, occasionally things go, like I said, with a palp thing where Luke just one-shotted him. That just shouldn't happen. But, you know, occasionally it does. Other than things like that, dice, just be dice. And you play accordingly, you know.
So would you have any advice that you would give to anyone who hasn't played competitively yet but are wanting to?
Take what you want. Rule of cool is the most important thing. Don't get caught up in being quote-unquote competitive. Take what you want and learn the game would be my best advice.
I really like that. What about you, Joe?
I like that a lot, actually. I'm sitting here trying to work out how to make a six-act clone list.
you can do it. I've actually had a discussion because it's generally do something similar. Yoda, Lat, Anakin, or Obi-Wan. be close.
It was Obi Anakin. I love Yoda, but I find the dichotomy of those two together generally just seems to fit my playstyle of if you can get them both in, you can murder blend. So
Exactly. So you can do it. The challenge is with a really low activation list, like if it's six or maybe seven, you need to be able to kill things quickly, because then most missions are you need unit leaders to score, whether that's, you know, intercept or whatever, or breakthrough or key positions or whatever else it is. So you've got to out kill your opponent by four, five, six activations. And so you need, and the reason Palp Vader works is because they're incredibly good at killing activations. And I think some of, like for clones, for example, they're big hitters. They're a little bit more defensive. So they're good overall, but they don't blend in the same way that Vader and Palpatine do.
I would not say that Obi-Wan doesn't blend as fast as Vader. I'd say he gets pretty close too, but yeah, I see where you're coming from. I also get the added advantage of getting my surge to block on defense still, so with deflect. Sorry, Serestru.
Okay, I think Obi-Wan's great, but trying to say he can blend as well as Vader it's not even close.
I'm seeing a TTS game in the making here.
Operative or commander?
I don't do TTS. I tried TTS over. Over COVID, and I don't get on with it. So
I played one game of TTS, so I'm with you. And that game took 3.5 hours and was only three turns in, and it could have swung either way. So
yeah, that's the issue I have with it. It takes forever.
I'm a game player, and I really struggle with the controls. I can never work out if anybody can see anybody else. So my opponent was going, "It's easy," and I'm like, "Yeah, sure it is. I don't know what's going on."
Yeah.
So anyway, I digress. So I think you definitely can do a lot of activation. I mean, one of my favorite clone lists is actually Yoda double full arcs. It ends up being seven activations. But the reason is because Yoda's two pip. So Yoda gets battle meditation, and Yoda's two pip plays so well into full arcs. Giving full arcs relentless is just gross.
Oh,
yes.
So you basically can have that. Typically, I would have one with Echo flanking and one with fives near Yoda. And then you do kind of the command cards. You go 2-1-2 with Yoda over the first three turns. Yep. And again, because you've got battle med, you can do the one pip and put it on Echo that's flanking if you need to. And just, they do so much work.
Yes. Yeah, I can see that.
I feel sad. And
the core is basically phase ones of medics. And you end up with about 120 points left for heavy weapons or a third squad or a couple of barks or, you know, whatever you want to fill it out with. But the core of the list is Yoda and there's two arcs and a few medics to heal and, just get leaning into Yoda's two-pip.
So with all this happening, so six acts, it's become a bit of a meme. It's still a meme. I can tell you now, there's a lot of people playing. Well, now Jeremy's, you can tell we're recording a podcast. We're listening to you and he's on his desk trying to make lists.
I'm always trying to make lists.
How many do you reckon you'll see at Worlds that are six act or six, seven act?
One.
Yours?
Yeah.
I'd safely say you'll probably see more than one. We have a couple of Aussies heading over, and the person that has the highest ELO ranking and likes to tote himself as Australia's best player likes to consider himself an edge meme lord. So I'm pretty sure we can squeeze him to do a second. Maybe I can't, but Josh probably could.
I'll get on the chat.
That'd be cool. Yeah, so the UK guys that are going, I think a couple of them are doing Blizzard Force because it's Blizzard Force, and they can't think of anything better. But generally, they're all kind of slightly janky, but not six or seven activations. As I said, one's going full Black Suns, one's got a Rebel list that's just bonkers. It's like double speeder, double swoop, just it flies around doing nonsense. One's double ATST. So just all different things.
I took double lats to our state event last year and did not win any game. Oh, no, I won one game against clones.
I said the 2-day that I went to before LVO, I lost one game there. I went 4-1. I came third. The guy that came second ran Vader Palp in double lats.
I want to play that now. This is the thing. This is why it's dangerous doing a podcast with people like you, because now I'm there. I know Jeremy's writing his list. He's got the cards out. I'm sitting here going, okay, this is going to be fun. Next game night on Friday is going to be amazing. It's so...
That's what I think, the joy of most war games, but Legion in particular, is I think Legion's overall incredibly well-balanced, and you can take most list concepts and make them good enough to be, like, quote-unquote competitive.
Yes, and I totally agree with you. I actually get upset when I hear people go, oh, this is stupid, they don't win. It's not true, it's the player. You've got to remember, it's a game, it's a dice game. You've also got
it. Yeah, like, and I said, it's the player and it's having a plan. You know, too many people turn up to the games and they might send you a list and they say, what's your thoughts on the list? I'm like, well, how do you want to play it? And like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, I can't count on a list unless I know what you're trying to do with it. You can tweak around what they're trying to achieve to kind of make things slightly better. But yeah, just a cold list without any kind of plan around it is meaningless.
Exactly. I totally agree with you on that one.
It's also things like command cards. So talk to a lot of my other games about command cards. So like, for example, when you're mixing characters together in particular, Bossk Vader's works well together because Vader's two pips are his worst and Bossk's two pips is his best. So your command card balances quite well.
That's what I take normally. Difficult.
I was going to say, you are now my new favorite person because I Bossk is generally a staple in almost every Imperial list I ever make and half of my Separatist lists, just because one, Feed the Lizard, and two, he is by far the best bounty hunter. And that second, that two pip is just disgusting. It's overpowered. I love it.
Yeah, Bossk is great. I like Bossk. I said, so I ran Vader Bossk Gav Tank for a while, back in whenever it was, 2019. That was the list that would have gone to Worlds in March 2020, was Vader, Bossk, Gav Tank, and some Shores and Royal Guard. That's what was going to go to Worlds before COVID just ruined that plan.
So it's almost confirmed then. You're taking the six acts to Worlds.
I will not take the same list, but it's very likely to be six activations, but different.
So without giving away... I'll ask this question without giving away what you're taking, because there's still 2 months.
No, I'm open. I am the type of player. I'm happy to show people exactly what I'm taking because I like to show people what I'm going to do before I slap them in the face with it.
I hate the people that have the gotchas.
I've done it before. One of the good players in the UK, we had some like practice games. One of my favorite things was at the start of the game, I told him exactly what I was going to do and exactly how the game was going to play out based on the lists and the missions. And then I just did exactly what I said I was going to do.
to be brutally honest, I love when players rock up and they go, look, this is how my list works. And in these five scenarios, these are the things. And then even watching it play out, even when it's spanking you across the table, you turn around and you go, yep. I was warned they do this thing. Much like Josh experiencing Vader's death to an exploding...
Okay, we'll clarify that. We wanted that to happen. It was the end of day two.
I told you that it could happen, and we wanted it to happen, and so it happened.
And we had fun. Yep. So, rule of cool.
The list I'm toying with, just I'll tell you now, I haven't decided yet. So one is a similar list, but a lat instead of a gav tank. So Vader, Palp, three snows, and a lat.
I love it.
Another one is Vader, three snows probably, unless I can paint up some stormtroopers, and two dark troopers.
Oof. So
I don't know. Although some people suggest that's really eight activations, not six. But anyway, I don't know on that one.
So with the lat though, because what you were saying with the gav before, how you would put a standby on them, they'd move back. Can't really do that with the lat though, can you?
No, it plays differently. And that's one thing, because people have, as you say, people have seen the way the Gav list works a little bit and can think about it and practice for it, but the lat plays a bit differently. And therefore, it's... Because what you can do with a lat more... The Gav tank was very much turn one, get up there. Because Vader's in the back, I can't sit back because Vader just gets shot.
Yeah.
So I can do that a little bit because I got all the medics, but I can't do it too much. Got to be quite careful. With the lat, because Vader's protected, you can do your first one or two turns slightly differently. Because ultimately, the list is about getting Vader and Palp as uninjured as possible into the right position. And then once they're in, you just let them go and they do their thing. So the lat list can do something similar, but it does it in a slightly different way.
See, I'm going to have to play with that now. This is the thing.
The other list I'm thinking about is it is seven activations, just because the nature it needs to be, because the nature of it, because the points basically. But it's Vader double bounty. So Vader, Boba Fett, Din Djarin.
I could see that being quite brutal, actually. That list.
Yeah. Well, all my lists are brutal. I'm a full-on aggro player. I don't. Yeah, that's kind of how I do things.
You don't sit back. You get there and you get the job done.
No, I kind of my operative Luke list sits back a little bit more, and I can do it. I just prefer ringing people's faces and hitting them.
Oh, that's my sort of play style too. I just haven't been able to succeed at the level that you have.
Even with operative Luke, I still have fleets in a bus, so I'm still shooting people with fleets turn one. So I guess that's quite aggro.
That's fantastic. So any plans for Afterworlds? Are you going to change up your lists, or are you just going to keep going?
I change lists up quite regularly, to be honest. So Afterworlds, not sure. It depends what I end up taking. So the lists I mentioned, I'll probably run the others at some point. So I'll definitely be trying Dark Troopers at some point. I've bought 3 units of Wookiees for my Rebels, so I want to run lots of Wookiees at some point. I want to do the Gar list I talked about of Yoda double arcs, so I'll be doing that. See how things come up.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for taking your time out of your Saturday morning and to sit with a couple of Aussies and just talk about a six activation list at LVO. It's been fantastic.
You've got my creative juices flowing, and I'm going to say after 7 months, I was surprised that something like this has actually got them going this fast and this hard, trying to figure out how I can do something very similar but not.
No, exactly. And that, I guess that was the very intentional point of the list, was to kind of make a point that just do your own thing. Don't be constrained by what podcasts tell you should or shouldn't be doing.
Oh, unless it's us, where it's go make something cool and play it. That's what you should be doing.
Exactly. And, you know, and I said, so that's, I'd encourage everybody to do that. And then obviously you can tune it and you can tweak it, but, you know, stick to your core concept of what you're trying to do and just work out the best way to do that thing, whatever it is. You know, it could be a Blizzard Force list where you just have 6 units of Snows walking across the table with Vader. That's kind of fun. You can do that.
But I'm seeing triple dewbacks. And some Dark Troopers in my future.
Well, the my favorite Dewback list is you could do triple, give them a couple of uplinks and Royal Guard, and then just lean into new ways to motivate them. That's a fun list. Well, you need the Royal Guard though, because otherwise people stand on top of buildings and the Dewbacks get really sad.
I think that's what I need actually to change up in my list. Actually, is to have some Royal Guard there.
Yeah, I find double Dewback, double Royal Guard the best balance if you're going for that list. Just because otherwise people just stand on top of the buildings and the Dewbacks just walk around being all sad and things.
Well, I'll tell you, two
works really well.
I'll tell you the list that I've been playing almost exclusively for a little bit. It's Becky with Binox, Vader with Burst of Speed, Choke, Tenacity, and Offensive Push.
You've got the wrong Vader.
You want Commander Vader.
Yeah, he's way better. No courage limit and better dice pool. That's why I was asking before when I said Operative Vader is the
100% on Commander Vader's better.
Yeah.
But for lots of reasons. A top tip for you. Yep. Here you go. With Commander Vader, when you do Burst of Speed and you go to Speed 0, you can't be Force Pushed. So you can dive on Burst of Speed and not be pushed back into the open and shot.
See, I learnt that last night at our gaming club. My Vader, he did his Burst of Speed and then he got hit with Cad's Electro Whip.
Okay.
So he had four immobilized tokens. I'm like, oh, cool. Can't move me now.
Yeah, and because on that one you're relying on your opponent to make a mistake effectively.
Yes.
With the Commander Vader, you're actively doing it, you're choosing to dive and you're not being force pushed, and there's quite a lot of power in that. But anyway, but also, just there's so many reasons why Commander Vader is better.
Okay.
I hit Octobeta once and I hated it.
I've taken that note. So the next one, I've got Bossk in there as well. He's got Hunter and Offensive Push.
Yep.
I've got three Stormies with T21s.
Yep.
And then three Chewbacks with T21s.
Okay, so that's so you're not going full aggro with that then?
No, it's more for objective play to try and get better at objective play. That's the reason why I built that list.
Okay.
I know, it's a bit silly.
No. No, that sounds good. Sounds fun. Do you have recon intel on the T21s?
No, I don't.
I would. The reason is because then you can do turn one shots.
Far.
Because if you have recon,
I'm learning so much from this, but we should let you go. We'll definitely want to have you on either prior or after Worlds just to discuss how you go. Sure. Would you be open to that?
No, yeah, sweet as, bro.
Beautiful.
I like this. We will have you back on because, yeah.
Oh, I've learned so much in the 55 minutes that we've been talking to you. I cannot believe how much I've learned.
Mm.
There you go. Just spreading the word.
That's it. Well, thank you so much, cheers. David. I hope you enjoy your weekend.
Yeah, you too. Cheers, guys.
Cheers, mate. Have a good one. Dave.
Looking for a fun and social way to spend your free time? Look no further than Tabletop Gaming Hub in Mega, New South Wales. Our store is a haven for tabletop gaming enthusiasts, featuring a vast selection of games, miniatures, accessories, and more. Whether you're into board games, collectible card games, or tabletop wargaming, our knowledgeable staff will help you find the perfect game for you. Plus, our store is the perfect place to meet wonderful players and make new friends. We offer regular events, tournaments, and casual play sessions, so you can enjoy your favorite games in a welcoming and exciting atmosphere. So what are you waiting for? Visit tabletopgaminghub.com.au today and let the games begin.
And I hope you enjoyed that interview. It was really good of Dave actually to get on and to get those juices flowing. What you may have heard at the end, you may not have, I don't know where Josh will have cut that one, is he and I sitting there for a good, 2 to 5 minutes after David left and just fiddle with some armies.
I don't know if I got it, but I'll see if I can find it. But far out. If you were listening to that and you heard the change in our voices, it was the fact that pennies were dropping and light globes are going off in our head when he was just giving us these pointers.
I wouldn't really call it penny drops and more nuclear bomb drops.
Oh yeah,
there was definitely a shift from the start to the end where I sat there and I was like, but. oh, hang on a minute. I've got a fun one for you. I told you I'd be a little bit more like Richard Hammond by the end of this. Now, with that nice and done...
Who's taller?
It's Jeremy Clarkson by a fucking mile. And I'm taller than you by about a few mil.
Yes.
James May is still short.
Yeah, but I don't have crazy hair. But anyway. And I have a beard. Just saying.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm currently clean shaven, but that's only for the moment. But yes, it's time to drop our keys off, sit down, and have a little bit of a chat.
Oh,
and
yes.
I'm going to take a leaf out of that Grand Tour jokes book again. We're going to go and sit down and have a discussion about Josh on Conversation Street.
Yay.
So I'll let Josh throw a little bit of music in here.
Yeah.
Right, so what would normally happen at the end of whatever our main segment is, just to lead you guys into what's actually happening here, is we'll discuss something new, and I'm going to add these two things in together. And normally when I say something new, what I mean is upcoming events like the Oceanic League or Clash of the Titans or something big like that. Or, as of yesterday, we had the drop of the new Battle Force.
Yes, that is true.
And next week, we will have the drop of the Dark Troopers and the Gideon.
Yes. The things I like to call the separate the poor players from the rich players.
Just please don't, because that discussion in itself will start me down that lovely track that we had for about a month there where I went, AMG has officially hit the Games Workshop price point button.
We had this discussion on the phone, and we agree.
Yeah, when you're spending more than $12 a mini in some respects, for 7 minis, I think that's what it was, wasn't it? Yeah, something stupid like that.
Yeah.
I was like, when it costs more per physical miniature than Games Workshop, you may have to consider where you spend your money. And that's effectively we both landed on that one. So probably a discussion for next week. Or next time, next recording session.
Yeah.
Especially considering these two things will be out and we can massage that in. And if that's the main segment or if that's us, you know, just like ripping into each other for a good 30, 40 minutes. Perfect. But new year, new show, who dis, new podcast host. Josh has allowed himself to be the guinea pig, and let me poke and prod at him with a couple of quick fire questions for two reasons.
Couldn't think of anything one, else to do.
Well, sorry, three reasons. I was going to say, one, it allows he and I to be a little more flexible on what we do, because I'm sure at some point he'll do this to me as well. I will let it, just not tonight.
No. And it'll happen. It'll happen when you least expect it.
Nice. And two, it allows you, the listener, to get to know a new co-host. So something that didn't happen with Luke and Fang and Mitch and Courtney was we didn't really delve into them as players until we were, you know, delving into what we were actually doing as individual players. So let's give you some context right off the bat. So, Josh, obviously you said that you play with 10mm minis.
Yes.
And I know from experience that you like your Vader to be exploded by spider droids, so you play Empire.
Yes.
If you could play, regardless of price point, one faction out of all five, and I'm not going to include the battle forces here, you can add factions. Those on as a point of a bonus point for your own, whichever faction you pick. Outside of Empire. Yes. So remember that I already know, to the listener, I already know that he plays Empire.
Yes.
Some lovely backstory here is that our final game at WinterCon last year, so the last major event that I went to, I think. Yeah, because that was after State.
It was the second last game, because I ended up playing Rutledge after you.
Yes.
And we were buggered.
No, that was the last game of the day, because I packed up after that.
Oh, that's it? Or was Rutledge?
That was the last game.
Rutledge was my last game of Thursday. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah. But it was one of those things where it was the last game of the day. Neither of us were going top table. We're probably playing for top 10 out of 30 players. You know, it was let's just have some fun with it. And it was 13-act droids with trip spiders, Kalani, two Magnus from memory?
Yeah, you had two Magnus because I was like, I couldn't deal with them.
Three units of pikes was the other thing. It was a mixed match just to screw with it. And the bag control wasn't perfect, but it worked for what it needed to. And it was very hard to deal with for Josh. But the big drawback and the biggest memory of that game and the reason why we said we will actually do this together is because there was a moment in the middle of the game where, and we alluded to this in the interview, Josh had used two of his dubacs to mortally wound, probably brought it down to one wound, a spider droid.
Yes.
And I walked that spider droid forward and pressed the self-destruct button. And I took Vader off the board. There was a unit of Royal Guard with two models left. And I took three wounds off those two models. So one of those Royal Guard models was alive on one wound and was very suppressed. I took a dubac off the board that was down to its last couple of wounds. Was there anything else I removed? I remember that popping was just like half your army evaporating.
You didn't remove it, but you put three more wounds on the other dubac.
I did, and I was like, I was sitting there, I'm like, ugh.
It was just cool. That's what it was.
It was, but it was that thing that the game designers wanted to happen with one of these spider droids, who happened with it. Now, those spider droids have collected dust since then because, you know, that was the glory shot. There's no point bringing them out ever again. No, I'm kidding. They're going to come out at some point. But knowing that and hearkening back to my point, I'll even let you pick Empire. But
which faction would I...
one faction, just one, and only one forever.
Oh, it'd be Empire. But if it couldn't be Empire, it would be Shadow Collective.
Okay. Why?
I'm glad you asked that question, Jeremy. For me, the Shadow Collective have two, in my opinion, two very separate sort of like avenues you can go for playstyle. You can go with the pikes where it's like, you know, group together, take your suppression and evade like crits with your dodges and all that fun stuff. Or you can go with these big lizards that look like they're enemies from Power Rangers and take some Mandos and a bus and just go wreak havoc with range 2 PS1 guns. Let's do that. So, and Maul, who doesn't like Maul? Maul's freaking cool. Ray Park, hell yeah. So, like, that's where I would go in that sort of avenue.
Yep. I'm surprised you didn't go with Separatist for Maul for the same reason.
No. There's a reason why. Now, I'll tell you why. There is a special, very, very, almost at the bottom layer of hell for the person who designed the models for the B1 battle droids, having the back of the head being a separate piece.
Yeah, I come from a Games Workshop background, so for me that doesn't matter that much.
I come from Games Workshop. I come from Bolt Action. The original Bolt Action sprues were pains in the ass to do. War Games Atlantic did a sprue of Samurai, which I still have about half a dozen of them in a shed that I haven't touched because of how many intricate pieces there are just to make one arm with a bow. So nice. I'm used to that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so I'm less offended by that than I am the shoulder pads on the new Mark VI Tactical Marines for Games Workshop's 30K game, where it's a shoulder pad. It's a one-piece piece. The studded shoulder pad is actually two pieces that you have to glue together. So it's the head on steroids because they're on fucking everything.
Far out. But there has to be a reason why. Like, why would you make things infuriating to build? If you
makes the injection mold really thin, so yeah. I actually had to have a look at this myself. When you look at where the mold is, where the injection points are, the head piece, if you glued the two pieces together, would be above that injection line, which means that you don't. The plates would be had to have been a certain thickness.
Yeah.
Which means that they could make thinner plates, which means cheaper, which means they could mass produce it faster. So that's actually the reason.
Okay. Very cool.
Still I'm not sucks. Saying it's the right call. I'm just saying that's the main call for it.
Yeah, it's a fair call, but it sucks.
What I don't understand, and I haven't done this yet, is if they've got two part heads in that box, why do they have two part heads in every other B1 iteration? So the Gary, the NR99, if they're two part heads in there, because they are two part heads in the upgrade kit.
Mm.
For the droids, so I would say that they could probably get away with the same kind of ideology for the B1 upgrade kit, but the NR99 should probably have full piece heads, just that one. Yeah. And if I open that box and I find out that they're not, I'm probably going to rage a little bit. So that's question one.
Okay, I'm ready for the next one.
Hmm. If you could go back and play any one game again. Against any opponent at any event that you've been at.
Yep.
What is it? Like, which game would it be? With who? And what happened in that game to give you that memory?
Oh, that's a good question.
I do like good questions. It's probably why I sat in the big boy chair for the longest time.
No, I have the answer to this one. So, first game at CanCon 2020.
Okay.
I ended up playing one of my best mates, Nathan Dorr. So he's one of our locals down here. We played together first game on a table that he brought. So we were using his terrain, playing each other, first day at CanCon. He tabled me turn four. I was really, really upset. When I say upset, I was grumpy. And I think for me, the biggest change for that was the fact that I had spent the last probably month painting an entire army. I was more focused on that than I was the actual list behind it. And I think now, as like I've grown in the hobby, in the game, and also learning my playstyle, because we all have different playstyles, it would more be about what I would tell past self to replay and how I would replay that, especially now after the interview that we had with David. There's a lot of things I would change. But I would not allow myself to get tabled turn four, at least turn five. Preferably, yep. I would win, but yeah.
If you could bring back any person, or like me and you, doesn't matter. If you could sit here as the you are now, with any other cast member or any guest star, and we can include Ryan Slawoski, because whilst he hasn't been on, I have legitimately sat through entire casting episodes messaging him.
Yeah.
And getting his feedback on things.
Okay.
So Ryan from Stabcast gets a pass as well. If you could add any cast member to sit down and do a deep dive into Legion for, say, 2 to 3 hours, and the other person you can add into that mix is Nick.
Ooh.
Because he's always here, but never speaking.
Yeah.
He's like the Stig.
Yeah.
So if you could, who would it be?
That's doesn't an have interesting to be me. One. I'll tell you who I'd go with, and this is probably out of left field. It'd be Fang. And that's because he's stepped away from the game, and he's been away from the game for some time. And you wouldn't... I can't assume to know how... Like, does he still follow the rules of what's going on? I saw him at CanCon. We had a good chat. We've always had really good terms. And it would be interesting to see someone who's hasn't played the game for, say, 2 years to go, all right, let's go on a deep dive to how the game is now. I reckon that would be a very interesting episode.
You know, the reason I ask it, we can always ask them to come back on, so you can do just that now. So these are the kind of things that I want to, you know, get through with everyone. So not just, you know, you and I doing stuff, but we can even bring them back and ask them if we can.
Yeah. No,
invitation's always there and their seats are always still sitting there. Surprisingly, today I actually have 6 tables around this chair. Oh, 6 chairs around this table. I'm tired. Guys, it's nearly midnight. So going forward, with everything we know that's coming out,
yes,
what are you most excited for?
Oh, Dark Troopers. I've got about half a dozen lists with Dark Troopers ready to go. I reckon they're going to be fun.
I'll stretch this one out a little bit for you here. Is that just because you're an Imperial player?
Yes, and the fact that they have 2 activations...
Okay. So I thought you might have gone with the Murder Bears, but you know.
No. I'm sorry, Joey, if you're listening, but you're gonna be my cannon fodder, buddy. I am not. I'm like, and this goes into this whole thing in my head. So like one of the reasons why I didn't get into Armada was because of the scale. So the ship scale was not correct in my and that bugged me. And then X-Wing was sort of like, I liked it, but I couldn't get into it. And I'm a big Star Wars fan, like to the point where at club people ask me lore questions. I'm the one that knows it. With Legion, there is one thing that bothers me at the moment.
And that's Murder Bears being able to be as competitive as everything else?
Yes. But it goes into the same line as mortars do not shoot in a straight bloody line. They arc. How come they can't? It does my head in. But anyway.
Why don't they just have blast? I mean,
but you still have to be able to see it. There is such a thing as indirect fire.
There is. But they were slightly fixed with the silhouette. Let's not. We can deep dive that one a little bit further down the track, because I'm quite happy. But your Murder Bears, the things that could pop AT-STs in lore.
They're little bears that were used as support animals at the end of the war. That's what they are.
Winning the second most decisive battle against the Empire in the entirety of the birth of the New Republic.
They took out one AT-ST.
Killed a couple of AT-STs. They legitimately knocked one over. Like
They knocked rolling. One over, they squished one, and they commandeered one with the help of Chewbacca.
Yes, they did. But
they also thought that C-3PO was a god.
You know, Luke had a little bit of a hand in that. That was some Jedi-ing.
Here's a theory. Maybe Luke was sort of, you know, doing his thing from the Death Star to make the bears do things. Or did you ever think that they could have been on meth? Could have been.
I'm pretty sure they were all on meth or something.
Ayahuasca, that's what they were on.
You know what they remind me of? That movie that's coming out this year, Cocaine Bear.
Oh, and that's based on a true story too, which is even better. It is.
But just think about that for a minute. Ewoks are just Cocaine Bear times a billion cute little fucking Care Bears on cocaine, murderizing their way through the galaxy, or at least through Endor.
And they speak Tagalog too, which is even better. Did you see that thing that came out? It was this week, I think. It was a YouTube... No, it was a Facebook thing where... This guy from the Philippines is like, this is how you say this in Tagalog. Now listen to this. This is what they're saying in Return of the Jedi. Ewok speak Tagalog.
Jesus.
I think is a fantastic thing.
It is. It's pretty good. But yeah, obviously that wasn't the most decisive battle of the Birth of the New Republic, because that was unfortunately the Battle of Jakku, which was not shown on screen.
Not unless yet, anyway.
It was shown on screen unless you own a PS4.
No, I'm saying I reckon we'll end up seeing it in a movie at some point.
I hope to God not.
Why not? I think it's a very interesting battle. If you actually in the books, it's really interesting.
It was, and it was a great battle. It was probably one of the best. It was the best part of that stupid fucking game, and the single player storyline in Battlefront 2.
Yeah,
was just looking at the sky and seeing the Battle of Jakku and going, "Holy shit, that's a lot of Star Destroyers
coming down."
Yes.
No.
Well, not even a lot of Star Destroyers coming down. That was just a lot of Star Destroyers in the air.
I would like to see a deeper dive into the formation of the New Republic. I know they sort of did that with the Aftermath series, but they didn't, and they did at the same time. It was just like a smattering of different stories.
Well, we may see it. I mean, the Battle of Jakku technically hasn't happened yet during the Mando Season 3, because the New Republic is established at the Battle of Jakku. Like, it's actually a well-established thing. So, and the Remnant is not really a Remnant, which is one of the things that we will be talking about in the future, exactly. In the next episode or two. But yes, the Remnant isn't really a Remnant at the Battle of Jakku, because it's 70% of the entire Imperial Navy from memory.
Yeah, and it was...
Like, the Imperial Star Supreme. Navy, that was 70% of everything they could muster from the entire galaxy.
Yeah, and they had Grand Admiral Sloan there too.
Yes.
So that...
A shitload of MC-75s.
Yep.
No, MC-80 Starhawks, not MC-75s.
It was something.
My ships around.
It was something. It's 20 to 12, mate.
Yeah, it was... Well, the Starhawk is made out of commandeered MC-80. It was MC-80s and Starhawks, and the Starhawk was made out of busted up Imperial Star Destroyers.
Yes.
Which is why it's so fucking broken in Armada that Rebels get one, because they are just brutal as shit. And the MC-80, not the home one, but the stupid one with wings.
Yeah.
Apparently the Mon Cala converted a shitload of their city ships into those.
They
were just fast to mass produce.
Yeah, because
they
had the backbone on them ready to go.
Yeah, and they could go toe-to-toe with with an ISD with no issues.
That sounds so dangerous.
What, going gun for gun in the front?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was the one thing, because I did come from Armada before going into Legion. That was the one thing that you never really tried to do was go front-on assault. I'm just dropping shit, as I do. Front-on assault with Star Destroyers versus anything in the Rebel Armada, except for the Starhawk, or I can't even remember if the Starhawk is one, but it was like, except for the Starhawk or the MC-80 Star Cruiser. That's what it was called. I was like, ah. And even then you'd be like, do I do it? Front shield 5, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I never got into Armada, so.
As you pointed out, it is 20 to 12, so we will wrap this one up for the night.
That's it.
We will be back a lot more regularly than we used to be.
That's it. We'll definitely have the thing going on, and on a lot of the socials, so Facebook, YouTube, and that sort of thing, you'll see things come up in between episodes as well, to keep you guys, you know, you got your content coming. We're going to be streaming games from the Tabletop Gaming Hub down here every now and then when a big game is played. And yeah, I think you guys are going to be liking some of the content that's going to be coming out.
As usual, we do our yearly event. Nick may or may not be back for Moab this year. I don't know. But in the meantime, Clash of the Titans will be coming up. The players pack will be out. It should have been out already. And I will admit that I've been just a smidge lazy. I'm waiting to hear back on the final dollar value on tickets. And I will push the tournament organizer, like the full event organizer, to give me that before I drop that players pack. So if it's not already out before this episode drops, it will be out just afterwards. Just to give you guys, you know, 7 to 8 weeks to get your tickets and get everything ready.
That's all the time you need to get ready for an event.
Sure it is. But until then, I'm your host, Jeremy. And
I'm Josh.
As always now. And we'll see you guys next time.
That's it. Thanks again.
And may all those rolls that you guys are going to be rolling, just to sign off in the old-fashioned way, be crits.
Thank you for tuning into the We Are Legion podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show and gained some valuable insights. If you want to stay connected with us and be the first to know about new episodes, you can find us on all the major social media platforms as We Are Legion. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to keep up with our latest updates and engage with our community. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. Thanks again for listening, and we look forward to connecting with you online.